Number 138, teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Teach me thy way, O Lord.
One more time.
Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Thy way, O Lord.
This time, Sister Rebecca and Sarah have a special for us.
Thank you. number 84, I love you, Lord.
Yourself in a vindicated way before us in this hour, Lord. We know that your personal presence is here. Not a thought, not a concept, not some pantheistic kind of force that's amongst us, Lord, but the very person of God himself has come down, has made and declared himself manifest before us. And Father, we are now in communion with you. So Father, we come to communion tonight, Lord. We just pray that you would, Lord, give us an understanding of what it means to be in that communion, Lord, that understanding that to know who we are and to be known of you, Father. We just ask, Lord, that you would not look upon our faults and failings, but as we come through the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, Lord, with a true, correct understanding, that, Father, you would not see us, but you would just see the righteousness of Christ. We ask this, Father, as we commit ourselves to thee, in the wonderful and blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Yeah. So I just greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be in the house of the Lord again, isn't it? I mean, there's lots of things we could be doing on a Wednesday night. Could be somewhere else, but, you know, I'm so thankful that God has chosen us as his chosen people. Now, tonight, the message that I've got is called communion, since it's a communion night, and really just want to have a bit of a look at the aspect of communion and consider why we come to communion and the attitude and approach that we should come with when we come to communion. So if we just turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to read from 11:23-33. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take and eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if I just read from the message Communion, it says, and this is a 1965, paragraph 3, Now there's one thing that I want to say just before we start the communion, is this, that I believe that we have seen enough in our day that we live in that we ought to really give, in brackets, all of our being to God. We should really serve God. I believe that he has blessed us with a direct answer to Scripture, as Brother Perry gave it a few moments ago, that we are at that time. We are not blind. We see that we are here. We have arrived. And we can also look around and see the way that the human mind is leaving the people, that we can't stay too much longer. We'd be in a complete insane institution. The whole world would be. So see, we're at the end time. And isn't it interesting if Brother Branham says, you know, we should give all of our being to God in complete communion with him, with the one who's here, with the one who's present with us. And as he said there, you know, the human mind is leaving the people. We have insanity around us. You know, Brother Branham says that hell is being created on this earth because this is Satan's Eden. The earth doesn't belong to Satan, but we can see it. Insanity's around us. Now, if Brother Branham said that in 1965, where are we at 2010? Amen? It's not getting any better, is it? It's not getting all sweet and lovely, but we can see the whole thing collapsing around us. And the world is coming in communion with Satan by becoming one mind in insanity. We are to come in communion with God our Father by giving our very beings to him through Jesus Christ. So I can see here that there's a couple of things. One, we are to submit to God and empty out and to allow him to fill up and take over for his glory and for his purpose. To keep you in a right mind controlled by the revealed word of this hour. It's the only way you're going to escape insanity. Anything else won't stand. Second, as we come to communion, we're to examine ourselves before the communion table and see if we be in the faith. You are to examine yourselves. You are to look at yourselves. And you are to discern the Lord's body, God in Christ and God life in our fellow believers. What is the Lord's body in this hour? We know that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ sits upon the Father's throne. We know that the personal presence of God, the Father himself, is here. What is the Lord's body? We are members one of another, aren't we? We are members of the body of the Lord. And thirdly, we are to tarry for one another, to get into a position where the body is in the unity of the faith and our attitude is of one mind and one accord before the table of the Lord. All right? You know, we're not coming for a tradition. We're not coming just to do a formula because we were told to do a formula. But we are absolutely coming into the presence of Almighty God as the body of Christ, as one body with one mind and one accord. So it's really important then that we come with that right attitude. So we should get empty. How do we get empty? Well, you don't become vacant or vacuous, right? You don't come into a meditation state where you're just going to drop out and make it all empty space. The way that you get empty is by actually letting this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So in Philippians 2:5-6, Paul tells us, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Brother Branham doesn't quote the actual scripture, but I'm always drawn to the fact that Brother Branham says it was not robbery to be the same person. Now, if we think about that for a little minute, that's quite a profound statement. That doesn't mean that you're God. It doesn't mean that you are the person of God. But if you let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, what was the mind? Not my will, but thy will be done. What is your will, Father? What do you want me to do? You know, are we in that position where we are so given over to God that you will not move until he tells you to? That's where I want to be. I don't believe I'm in that position. You know, if I'm honest with myself, there's lots of things that I do because I want to do them, not because he wants me to do them. But I desire to do the will of my Father. I desire to be conformed to the image of my elder brother, Jesus Christ, who I can see as an example that was set before me so that I can follow him. And as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And I can follow the vindicated revealed word of this hour by seeing Brother Branham as an example that I can follow as well. That gives me a pattern that I can go for. Because I can come and I can let this mind. It didn't say struggle for it. It didn't say go and find it. It just said let it happen. Step out of the way. Amen? Empty yourself out. Brother Branham says coming up in your right senses. You know, Brother Branham said just before he died, he says, all my thoughts are of God. Most of my thoughts are not of God. Right? During the day, most of my thoughts are about a bunch of other things. But if I allow this mind to take control, I will become possessed. Hallelujah. But I'll have my right senses. I won't be a vacuous automaton, but I will be a person who's in my right senses, but controlled by a mind that is moving in the right direction, not towards insanity, but towards sanity. So we are to empty out so that God can express himself through us in the position that he's placed us in, each and every member in that body of Christ. Because you are a little individual light cell in that light body. If thy eye be single, thy whole body is full of light. If you have a correct understanding of the word, and this is why the doctrine is so important, because the doctrine is not a bunch of words. Doctrine is the expression of the one person of God which places and positions you in the body of Christ and allows you to then take up your position the same as Jesus took up his position, the same as Brother Branham took up his position. You can then step into the position that God wants you to be in. Hallelujah. You can then just let him make it happen. It sounds simple, doesn't it? But it is. But we make it so complex because we mix our minds up and struggle with it, and we try and make it happen, so we mess it up, where we've just got to sit back and we've just got to allow God to make it happen for us. And so through the revealed word, we've come to a place of restoration and communion. Do you know, because of the word that we have received, because God bought this word, he bought Brother Branham as a prophet, he vindicated him, he manifested his word before us, we are the only people who can now come in true communion. So when we come tonight and take this communion, we and those who believe as well around tonight, if they're going to take communion, or they probably take it on Sunday, so you know we could be the only ones here, we absolutely are coming in communion with a spiritual being. A person. Right? The God of this universe. I mean, Brother Brian and I looked at, I can't remember the guy's name, but he was talking about the greatness of God. So he's talking about the planets and all these kind of things. And he was given an example of the size of Earth compared to the sun. You know, Earth was a golf ball and how big it was. And he took you out to these stars that were just massively awesome. You know, and he says, the stars, God breathed forth the stars. And I thought, you know, this guy was a great speaker. And I thought, what marvelous thing. But he doesn't understand God. He doesn't understand that that God who breathed those stars is personally present here with us. Amen? He's here. Not out there somewhere, he's here. You know, if he chose to be in this room, that'd be fine. But he's here because he made his word and revealed it to us. And we know that our access to God is through Jesus Christ, our elder brother. Amen? Because I do not have a direct access line to God. The only way that I can come to God is through Jesus Christ. And if I don't understand and recognize the Son of God and the relationship between Father and Son, how can I have communion with God? Because if I come with a wrong understanding or a wrong conception of the person of God, of the person of Jesus Christ, then I'm not going to come in communion. In Galatians 4:4-7, it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, an heir of God through Christ. In fact, says we are joint heirs, aren't we? We are joint heirs through Christ. Now, the beauty of this is because Jesus, my older brother, stepped into that position and gave himself completely to his Father, to the will of his Father, and accepted his position as the Son of God and went to the cross for me, I can come through him. I can be the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I can now step into this communion. You can step into this communion through the word that we have received. Amen? Now, just as Jesus sacrificed himself to the will of the Father and became that sacrifice for us, so too we must come the same way. I was reading recently Brother Bale's book on the power of the cross. And what was beautiful about the power of the cross is if you want resurrection, you have to come through the cross first. And I started to think about that, and I was thinking, well, you look at Cain in the beginning. Cain wanted resurrection. Why? Because he offered first fruits. He offered an offering of first fruits, which is a resurrection offering. But he could not come through the blood. He could not come through crucifixion to get to resurrection. Because the scripture also says, Christ the first fruits, then every man in his own order. So if we're to empty out and submit ourselves, we're coming through a crucified state. We're coming through a position of where we are putting ourselves aside so that we can then receive that resurrection life from God. In Ephesians 4:1-6, it says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. So there was Paul, who was a prisoner. He was crucified, wasn't he? He was locked up. He was in chains. He couldn't move unless God told him to. I therefore the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness and long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavouring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So we can see here that there is one mind, there's one body, there's one Spirit. We must come in a crucified state. Jesus was obedient to his Father, even to the death of the cross. And he also said that we have to take up our own cross daily. Take up your cross daily, not once. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. It didn't say I was, it says I am. Present tense crucifixion. So the crucifixion to me then brings us through to a submission to God's presence. And with the holy life in us, we are now back to a position of communion. Communication with God our Father through Jesus Christ. Receiving the Spirit of adoption, which is then positionally placing us as sons. So what is communion about? It's about crucifying ourselves. It's about coming into position as sons of God. It's about being positionally placed from Who Is God in Cleveland, Ohio, 1950. E21 paragraph. Why no wonder cripples when you can realize that can straighten out the Creator's here. No wonder blind and they can't see opens up. The Creator's here. The Creator is here. Amen. Realize who we. The Bible said we are sons and daughters of God, His offspring. Then we're something like God was. That's interesting, isn't it? Jesus said Himself, it is written, you're gods. Written in your law, we become a part of God, a son of God, by adoption through Jesus Christ. Therefore, if you realize that the very God that made the dirt and the earth and whatever's here is living among men, where is our faith at, friends? I mean, where's our faith today? And He said, these things that I do when He was on earth, greater shall you do, for I go unto my Father. Whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. That's the Creator speaking. Is that right? It doesn't lay in Him. It lays in us. Only believe. Now, we're not all going to race out there, right? We're not. Brother Branham had his position, Malachi 4, 5 and 6. I do not need to do that. The body of Christ has already done it. But I must come in my position. You must come in your position. What's your position in the body of Christ? Okay. So he said, then we in fellowship that Adam lost in the fall, Christ restored in his death. Do you believe that? To bring man back into fellowship with God. Now the church has moved up to that fellowship with God, communion. Like Adam had in the beginning in the Garden of Eden. Taken all sin away, free from condemnation, Holy Spirit cleansing us up. Now you're free to exercise the next step in God. See? And my thoughts here are, well, what is the next step? Well, we become what we eat. The next step in God is to take the word and let this mind be in you in communion so that He can express Himself through you totally in that portion that God predestinated you to be. Because He predestinated you for a purpose. Right? You're not a haphazard. You're not some, you know, half-baked product that kind of popped out and has been kind of scrubbed up and cleaned up. We are the predestinated seed of Almighty God that has been made manifest in this hour. We come through Jesus Christ. We have now been made manifest. We come from attribute. We bypassed our theophany. But now you are a person and you have been redeemed back to God. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that wonderful? And we can have communion tonight with a clear understanding of who we are. You know, it's not, oh Lord, I hope you can make me something. It's recognizing that we are the sons of God. Why? Because we have come through repentance. We have been baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God has led and guided us into all truth, given us this revealed word in this hour so we can receive it. And as Brother Branham says, you become the word as you receive the word. Not you are the word, not you're not the source, but you are of the source. You are sons of His Spirit. You are of Him. You are lineage of God. You are species, God species. And so we've received the bread of life in our hour through God's vindicated prophet. The bread of life is revealed to us and we're free to partake of the bread. Amen. Free to partake of this communion. We have received the word and become one with it as we submit to that word and allow it to take over our lives. This is real communion. As we eat that word, we become that word. We become what we eat. We become a physical expression of the true communion with our Father. We are eating of the bread and drinking of the blood through revelation as God reveals Himself to us as individuals. Collectively we make the body of Christ, but God wants a personal relationship with you as an individual. It's just you and God alone. Amen. Now Jesus said in John 6, 51-57, I am the bread, living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, He shall live forever, and the bread that I give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Brother Bram says you're eating upon the body, word, Son of Man. The fresh kill of this hour, the fresh word that's given to us for this hour. So, from Communion, Tucson, 1965, Brother Bram says, paragraph 36. Now we find out today this great thing that we're fixing to do tonight in commemoration of his death and his body. And we believe that we eat daily, or we just got through eating as our brother preached to us, taking the word of God, we believe it with all our heart. We see it manifested, we see it given to us, we see it vindicated, we feel it in our lives, and we must come to this with a deep conscience of what we're doing, not just because it's in order. You go into church and many times they give out an old soda cracker or some kind of a something, break it up, and light bread or something, and break it up. The people who smoke and drink and everything else because they're a member of the church, they come to take the Lord's Supper. Well, that's filthiness before God. So God wants us to be coming to this table tonight with a sincerity and knowledge that God has spoken to us in this hour, and we're recipients of the word of eternal life, and this was made possible for us through the broken body and blood of Jesus Christ. We are sons of God. This is not a playgroup, and it's not a play centre. Right? This is life eternal. John 17:3, and this is life eternal, that they, who that? That's us. That we might know who? Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. We have a good understanding. Right? We have a good understanding of God our Father and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. We have both Father and Son. We have true communion. Because Jesus said, in that day you will know I am in the Father in me, I am you and you in me. Why? Because we're all one body, one mind, one spirit, placed in our own order and our own position, and we can have true communion. We come tonight not just because it's a tradition, but I hope we come through a real understanding of the word and love for God, through the sincerity of the recognition that God is present and that now we are the sons of God. From Communion 1965, paragraph 40, it says, you don't take the Lord's Supper by tradition. You take it because it's the love of God in your heart in keeping the commandments of God. That's what you take it for. So if you don't take it in sincerity, it's just the tradition. Well, our church observes communion once every Sunday or once every month or twice a year, and you go up and say, well, it's my time, and take the communion. It's a stink to God, see, just a tradition, paragraph 42. Even like anything else, you've got to be sincere. God wants the depths of your heart. You remember the very God that brought you here on earth is the one you're serving. You're doing this because he said so, because it's in order. We want to come up with deepness of sincerity, knowing that by God's grace that we have been saved, and we love him and we feel his presence, and we see it change our lives. Our whole being is changed. We're a different people. We don't live like we used to. We don't think like we used to.
Amen.
Amen. We don't think like we used to because we have the mind Christ, the revealed word in this hour. See, the word is a person, not just units of language. It's not read the Bible. Anybody can read the Bible. But the revelation we have received in this hour through a vindicated prophet is ours. It's yours to grab a hold of and take, receive it, believe it, and let it actually manifest itself in you. Amen? Because we're coming into communion with a great God who's going to change these physical bodies. Right? I'm sure you want to get out of here. You know? Because if this world is insanity, as we said in the beginning. It's just insanity. Right? And I'll be honest, sometimes I look around and go, oh, that's nice. And you could go someplace and that's nice. But it's hell is being created in front of our very eyes. That is what the scripture says. So let us eat the word in communion and allow God to create us as a new creature and change these vile bodies into something that he has predestinated for us before the foundation of the world. So we are changed because we're submitted to this word. We're no longer our own, but we are reflectors of his word that he has for us for this hour. We should present ourselves, therefore, as a living sacrifice, confessing what he has done for us with respect and deep sincerity towards the great God that brought himself to himself through Jesus Christ. Let us tarry one for another. Consider your brother or sister. Intercede for them. Or if there's anything that needs to be cleared out, as we read in the scripture, you should go and make that right before you come to this table. Communion 1965, paragraph 54, it says, "Then when we come to the Lord's table, we must come in reverence, love, and respect of look where we would have been if it hadn't been for him. See, look where it would have. Therefore, Paul, I think, in saying this, wherefore, when you come together to eat, tarry one for the other. That is, in other words, just wait a few minutes. Pray. Check yourself out." So examine yourself, check yourself out. "And if you know a brother is in there just about to do something that's wrong or something, and you pray for him too. See, tarry one for another. Wait just a minute. Pray. If there's any feelings between you or something, don't do it. Go make that right first. See, go straighten it up first, because they want to come here just as pure as can be, and our thoughts to one another and to God and to each other, and then we come in fellowship around the table of the Lord." It's vitally important, isn't it, to make sure that we come in a right mind and a right attitude with reverence and respect, because we are coming before the Creator of this universe. Not a play group, not a play center, not a little tradition thing that we're doing, but we're coming knowing that we have met God, that we have received his word, and that we are becoming his word in what he wants us to be. So let us come in that sincerity and tarry one for another. So we must check ourselves. Are we worthy? Of course we're not worthy in ourselves. We could never be worthy in ourselves. We don't have any righteousness of ourselves. But we're worthy because he's worthy. We can recognize that we come through Jesus Christ, our elder brother. We can recognize that the sacrifice has been made. And we can empty ourselves out and say, "Lord, just take me as I am. Here I come as the righteousness of Jesus Christ, not holding anything in my hands. But I'm going to come to the table tonight to receive of you, to commune with you. And as I take the bread, I want that word and that mind to dwell in me. I want it to take total possession of my body, no matter what the cost." Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to do it no matter what the cost? Because what did it cost Jesus to go to the cross? You know, I mean, he was a carpenter. I was thinking the other day, I said, you know, Joseph and Son, carpenters. You know, you could have had a chain store of carpentry shops, right? Imagine it, you know. The Costco of Judea. But he gave it up. Right? He could have sided up to the Pharisees and become a pretty good, you know, member of the congregation. But he gave that up. Why? Because he says, "I only do that which my Father shows me." Amen? Came to the River Jordan. Filled with the presence of God, God stepped inside him. "This is my beloved son." Led him off into the wilderness. Love led him to the cross. Amen? He was so in tune and had stepped into his position that he had to struggle with our sin. Your brother Bram says, sins past, present and future. He struggled with me in Gethsemane so that I could accept through faith and become him. Amen. That's the communion that I want. And God tells us that we should present our bodies a living sacrifice. Amen. Crucifixion for us is not crucifixion on the cross in this hour, but there is a crucifixion of presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Amen. And I was thinking about that, you know, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So if I look at myself, we know that we're a three-part being. This is a physical part, there is the spirit, and there is the soul. All right? So the things that I'm looking at that I need to sacrifice is I need to sacrifice this flesh. Right? What I think I might want to do for the flesh, if it's not the will of the Father, I need to sacrifice it. I need to sacrifice my spirit, my reasoning, my memory, my conscience, and all those things. You know, there are a lot of things sometimes that are reasonable to do, but they're not the right thing to do. Paul said, I can do all things, but not all things are expedient. He was so enslaved, a prisoner, and sacrificed to God that he wanted to go somewhere. God said, you're not going there. So he couldn't go. Present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Right? That you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. What's the will of God? The will of God is the word of God. Amen? And we know that Moses came with the will and the word of God for his age. Brother Branham came with the will and word of God for our age. And we are to be the living recipients of that word. And you do that through sacrifice. For I say through the grace that is given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Then, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let our prophecy according to the proportion of faith. On ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, or he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love and honour, preferring one another. So we can see here that as Paul says, let us present ourselves as a living sacrifice. And then he starts to talk about the body of Christ, doesn't he? He starts to talk about you present yourself as a living sacrifice and you recognize your position in the body of Christ. Everybody's got a different part to play, but it's one body. If my body is in harmony, it is not dysfunctional and going against each other because it is in control of the mind that is telling the body what to do. My hand moves because the mind tells it to move. The hand doesn't say I'm going to go over here somewhere. It's in control. And as we are in control, as we come in communion with God, as we empty ourselves out, as we submit ourselves, as we sacrifice ourselves, we are then allow the resurrection power of God to work in us here and now for what he wants us to do, and in totality to actually change our bodies. So we've come to receive the physical elements tonight. Let us receive the spiritual mind of Christ as we take those physical elements. Let us not just take it as some physical elements, but let us come with one mind and one accord. Let us receive the spiritual mind of Christ. Let us enter into a communion with the great God that loved us before the foundation of the world. And let us submit our wills to his and allow his purpose to be made manifest through us as sons and daughters of God. Let us consider our neighbour. If there's anything that we have against one another, let us make it right before God before we come to the table. If it's something that's been done in the physical, go make it right before you come. If it's something in your mind, put it to God and ask for his forgiveness. But let us come with an understanding of what communion's all about. So let's just read again 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 33, then I'll hand over to my brother for order of service for communion. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner, he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. We know that's the physical coming of Jesus Christ. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let us examine ourselves tonight. And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause are many weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord. We should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you are come together to eat, tarry one for another. Just may the Lord add blessings to the word. I stand over to Brother Brian.
As we change the order of service, I would like to just take a reading from John chapter 13. Beginning of verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his time was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, laid aside his garments, and took a towel and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answering said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answering him said, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. So we see the importance of the community service. As Brother Vail has taught us, it's the most important service that we could participate in. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore he saith, Ye are not all clean. So after he had washed their feet, and had taken his garment, and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, that you should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that is sent is greater than he that sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen. But that the scripture may be fulfilled, He that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. Now I tell you before it come to pass, when it shall come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that receiveth whomsoever I receive, or I have sent, receiveth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. When Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in the spirit, and testified, and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one to another, doubting of whom he spoke. Now there was one whom Jesus loved, one of his disciples whom Jesus loved, leaning upon him. And Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him, that he should ask who it was of whom he spake. He then, lying on Jesus' bosom, saith unto him, Who is it?
Jesus answered, He it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, That thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake these words unto him. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus had said unto him, Buy those things for which we have need against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. He then, having received the sop, he went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, Whither I go you cannot come. So now I say unto you, A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one for another. And as Brother Branham said, without perfect love, we'll not enter into that place. Now, I don't know about you, but I believe that the coming of the Lord is very, very soon at hand. We see the world falling apart. We see the economies of the world on the brink. Perhaps in the next year, they'll totally destruct. They're forecasting the dollar, the dollars of the world, basically, to be worthless within about a year from this summer. The total bubble that's coming is going to hit very hard. When it does, it's going to be panic time for many, many people. My question to you is, when all of this takes place and happens, could it be too late? Could the rapture already take place before that time comes? Could the resurrection, the gathering together of the saints, Brother Branham back, the resurrection taking place, tent ministry, all these things, could they already be fulfilled before next summer? Now, I've been looking for the coming of the Lord. I've been looking for these events since I became a Christian. 74, 73 actually, 74. Truly looking for the manifestation of these things. But let me ask you this. Are you ready? I see too much worldliness still in the church. Not only from the standpoint of conduct, but the standpoint of a lack of love for one another. And it disheartens me when I see people treating others in classes. Well, you're a Christian, so I'll treat you this way. You're not a Christian, I'll treat you this way. You're a good Christian, I'll treat you this way. You're just a church goer, mediocre Christian, I'll treat you this way. Since when are we to treat people differently, one or another? God is not a respecter of persons. He sends rain on the just and the unjust. If Brother Branham only prayed for those people who were believers, he wouldn't have had a ministry. How many people do you think understood what you understand today in 1960 through 65 or 1950s through 1965? I can put on probably less than the five fingers on my hand those who understood. And probably, I don't think there's anybody except for him that understood. And Brother Vail will tell you himself, he did not fully understand. And there's no way that he understood then what he understands now. Brother Brown told Brother Hickerson, right now I'm here, you're all down here. But one day you're going to be here. And you have that understanding. Why don't we have the same spirit that he had? The same compassion, the same love. Well, I'll tell you what. There will come a squeeze. It's going to drive the people together. But he said, let the attitude that was in Christ, that word, let the mind, it's translated in the NIV as, let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. And it's all about attitude. Your attitude will put you in, your attitude will put you out. By your attitude, you put people in and out. And that's not that should not be so. Your attitude has nothing to do with whether a person is going to be put in or out, except for yourself. Your attitude will put you in or out, but your attitude will not put others in and out. God is the judge. Jesus said, I didn't come to judge, but my word, the words that I'm leaving you, they will judge in the last day. It's not for us to put one another in or out. It's for us to do everything we can for the family of God. With these thoughts in mind, Brother John, if you would bring forth the elements, or Paul, if you would go. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. I'll wait for the musicians to come before we do. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we humbly and reverently come before you tonight, knowing that as Brother Branham said, we should tarry one for another. That's the words of your son, Jesus. That's the words of Paul. That we should tarry one for another. We should be praying one for another. If we have anything in our heart toward one another, we should have taken care of those things before we even come to church. And yet, Jesus told Peter, If I do not wash your feet, you have no part with me. So we come to this time. It's a very important time. Because your prophet even told his son, Billy Paul, when he was smoking, that he should take communion. And he knew that if he takes it unworthily, he's bringing condemnation to himself. And so he had a struggle. He had a commitment to make. And yet, Father, we know that John said, if we, any of us, think ourselves to be without sin, we deceive only ourselves. So, Father, we come as sinners tonight, saved by the grace of God. And we come as saints, sanctified by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the washing of water by the Word. It is not him that runneth, nor is it him that willeth, but it is God, you, Father, that shows mercy. Help us to reflect that nature. Help us to think it not robbery to be equal with that person, to have that kind of mercy and that kind of grace for one another. For we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, if the brothers would ask the blessing over the elements, let's bow our heads in prayer.
Heavenly Father and Lord, I ask you to bless this bread, Lord, that represents the birth and body of your Son, Jesus Christ, and died on the cross, Lord. As the Scripture says, let us examine ourselves, Lord, if there's anything between us and you, Lord, we just ask you to forgive it. And Lord, we also ask you to just help us live better than we have been.
Thank you, Lord, for this wine. And Father, as you said, hurt not the oil and the wine, and we know that the wine is the stimulation and revelation, Lord, and we just pray that you would reveal yourself to us, Father, in our own position, our own place. Lord, show us what it is that maybe we have a question or something on our minds, Father, you would just undertake for us, Lord, in all things. But most of all, to place us as a position in your body of Christ and to know that position, Father, we ask as we commit this to you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.
Just as I am. soul of one dark blood, through thee whose blood can cleanse each heart, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, poor wretched and blind, sight riches healing of the mind. Yes, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God.